Blog Talk Radio.
Testing the sub or what it is, but yeah, so Dennis is on a submarine right now,
a nuclear ballistic submarine, which we all know what the hell is going to happen there. It's just not going to be good. So, hope, Dennis, you don't blow anything up and everything is, intact when you get back. And watch your head. I know you're like 6'2", 6'3", and those doorways are not that tall. So, I'm sure you're going to bonk the crap out of yourself a couple times. But, Dennis, love you, miss you. I know everybody does. Hopefully, you have a great trip and you don't break anything. And we will see you when you get back, which may be either Monday on Into Darkness or next Wednesday for Full Spectrum. Speaking of Full Spectrum, what has happened tonight is everything has pretty much fallen apart at the last minute. So I have no co-host. I have no guest. Unless somebody does want to call in at the last minute, feel free. Otherwise, I'm going to be playing a repeat of a previous show, which was just nuts, which I still listen to it. You're going to laugh your ass off, I promise you that. Couple announcements. I want to say congratulations to Ursula on something which I'm not going to exactly tell her or announce what it is yet. She knows what it is, obviously. But there's something coming up that's pretty big for her. Also, if you are in the Chicago area and you have nothing going on Saturday, and I'm going to read her post directly. This Saturday afternoon, noon to 7, our Chicago Hauntings 7-hour ghost tour traveling Resurrection Cemetery, Archer Road, Maple Lake, Dunham Park, and much, much more. $60 includes transportation, dinner, trivia prizes, and 7 hours of ghost stories with yours truly herself. She will be there. If you are in the area and you do want to go, call 888-GHOST-91. And again, that's 888-GHOST-91. Or you can buy your tickets online at www.chicagohauntings.com. Again, www.chicagohauntings.com. I have been on many of Ursula's tours. She pretty much investigates every investigation with myself and Mark or, whoever else is in the area and available. If I need somebody, that's my go-to girl. She's phenomenal. Her knowledge of everything will just blow your mind. It is definitely worth the trip. And also, if you are, we have to figure out a date for it and also a price for this tour, but this is going to be something very special that I'm going to be hosting, is Ursula will do her tour, but it will be from my boat. So what we're going to do is do the coastline, go up and down the river, check out a whole bunch of different places from the water that you normally don't get to see on a bus driving on the land. So that will be up and coming, hopefully, sometime really, really soon. I do also want to congratulate Dane Ladwig and RJ Parker on a lot of the stuff that they've been working on. They've been doing some great, great stuff. Along with that, I talked to Dane today and RJ, and we're going to be setting up something. And this is, I'm not giving a spoiler alert, so if you want it, too bad, it ain't going to happen. Going to be setting up an amazing, amazing show. The things that have developed just today, and I don't know if they want me to say anything about it, so I'm not going to, but, and stuff is coming up in the works that they have going on. It's going to be a huge show. We're going to schedule it with enough time to promote it and advertise it and do all that fun stuff. So that will be coming up soon. I also want to say, hope everybody had a great time out at the Farrar school and cemetery. There was a big, big event this past weekend, which I was supposed to be at, but just financially last minute and work schedule and all that stuff just wouldn't allow it. So in that, it was Helmy Kramer, Daniel Hooven, Jordan Murphy were out there, and they had a great, great time. Jenny Gurney was out there with a slew of other people. I'm not going to bore you with just my voice reading their names. Most people do know about it. September 6th, 7th, and 8th, there is the Parafest, which is in Allenton, Pennsylvania. Myself, Dennis will be there, and a ton of other people. So if you're in the Pennsylvania area or you plan on going, we will definitely see you there. And I'm really, really excited for it. Anyway, I will stop boring you with myself and my voice. It's a little different when I can't pick on Dennis because he laughs, or he'll say something and I'll laugh. But broadcasting alone is just not that fun, let me tell you. It really isn't. So anyway, I'm going to replay an episode from earlier with our dear, dear friend Scott Grunewald. He's hysterical. He's a nut, and we had a blast on the show. It is loaded up on the board, and hopefully that you guys all enjoy it. So here it is, and if I don't pop back on, I will talk to you on Monday on Into the Darkness Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another night of Full Spectrum Radio. I am your host, Matt, and I have my amazing eclectic guest, Dennis, with me. Dennis, what's going on, buddy?
Eclectic. It just changes each week. I love it. I never know what I'm going to be described as. Of course, one of those times I'm probably going to be afraid of what the hell I get described as, but that won't be the first time. Yeah, it's going good here, Matt. Just sitting back in this lovely rainstorm that we've had for the last, I don't know how long, watching my feet grow webs. this is crazy. I got the kayak out Sunday, second time this whole season, I think. And I was able to get further up the little creek channel that I go to than I ever have before, simply because it's flooded everything. But I did discover something. I know one fish that I don't want to catch on a kayak. That would be the, I'm assuming, alligator gar that swam about 1 foot beneath me. that SOB had to have been 4 feet long, man. And I bet a whole foot of it was razor-sharp teeth on that big snout they have.
Oh, yeah. See, what you should have done, and you should actually want to catch them, because at that point you won't have to paddle, just hang on.
Yeah, I'm thinking this thing could have dragged me downstream quite easy, but I was already having trouble staying put. The current rolling through there was heavy as it was. But, yeah, he just come cruising right up under me, and I was sitting in a kayak. You're virtually in the water anyway. I could have reached out of the kayak and grabbed him. I don't know what I'd do with him afterwards. It'd kind of be like grabbing a tiger by the colonists.
Yeah, they are. They're a damn hard fighting fish. So
yeah,
as far as river fish go, they're kind of on the top as sport fishing, hard fighting game fish.
Yeah, I mean, it, and not to mention it was a beautiful fish. I mean, it had some nice girth to it. Looked like it had either its mate or, you know, a smaller one rolling along with it, which I didn't know they were kind of a, you know, I guess gang fish. But I don't think I'd want to catch it. You know, and here I am out there with, you know, an ultralight. Yeah. It was definitely interesting.
Yeah. So how's your week been? Besides kayaking with alligator gar and rain.
Growing web feet. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, this will give you an idea. I was helping a friend. She wants to put up one of those big wooden swing jungle play things for her grandson. So I run the post hole diggers today. I hit the water table. That's how high the water table is here at this point. That's pretty rare. Needless to say, it took that one last downstroke with the post hole diggers, and I just splashed mud all up in my face. That's a lovely time.
I've done that many, many times. I can't even. Yeah, I've done a lot.
It's bad enough I'm in clay, and of course, you know, now I got to splash stuff at me. So we'll find out if Tide and Power Boost can actually get red clay mud out of a uniform.
Okay.
At any rate, tonight we go into part two with Scott Grunewald. Now, for those that haven't or that didn't join us last week, I nearly let myself laughing. He's, I'm not so sure he's right in the melon.
Yeah, he's definitely
well, now
a
I
guy.
See he just popped in the chat. I was hoping to get that by there without him knowing. Oh, well, cat's out of the bag, Scott. I just told everybody you're not right in the melon, my friend.
Yeah, it was definitely a fun time. I mean, it is always, not only just from Paranormal Paparazzi on Travel Channel, but just a ton of the other projects that he's done and everything. I mean, just all around great guy, fun-loving guy, love talking to him, great friend, great guy, so... That'll be coming up, hopefully, also, if she can work out the logistics of it, is the co-creator with myself, the one and only Sarah Labrie, might be joining in. She's trying to get a solid internet connection so she can Skype in and talk with us for a while. So it'll be great to have Sarah back. I've talked to her on chat a bunch of times, and... here and there, she's doing some amazing things down in Mexico, and she's going to be coming back stateside soon. So, Dennis, I know we talked about it briefly, but you got to keep September 6th, 7th, and 8th open and come to Allenton, Pennsylvania for the Paracon that's there. Sarah's coming, Brittany's coming, Jody's coming, pretty much everybody under the sun is going to be there. So, and I already reserved the time off work in the past couple of days, and I will be there for sure also.
Yeah, I'm going to do my best to block that out and see if I can make my way. I mean, with the list of people that are going to be there, folks, this ought to be awesome. You know, for any of you... the para-junkies that watch all the different TV programs and listen to us each week, and, you know, you follow a lot of the para-celebs and everything, you definitely got to come out and check it out. If you do investigations, I'm sure you can learn some new tricks of the trade, get out with a lot of the experienced investigators and whatnot. This ought to be a blast.
Yeah, it's definitely something. Sarah and I have been talking about it. Brittany and I have been talking about it. Jody's actually going to be here come, I have to check the exact dates, but she's going to be in Wheaton, Illinois, which is, I pass through on my way to work every day. So I'm going to meet up with her. They do this this midnight or overnight, basically, it's kind of like a flea market, a midnight flea market or something like that. I have to look up the name of it again, but yeah, that's gonna be coming up soon. So, gonna be able to hang out with Brittany and or not Brittany with Jody and chill with her and stuff. Actually, in the hometown, I do have something that's gonna probably make you a little bit jealous. So, I'm gonna get into what happened today. Otherwise, but or after this, but coming up not this coming weekend, but. Being Mother's Day and everything, and I know that we're not going to be on, so I just want to wish everybody a happy Mother's Day who is a mother, and wish your mother a happy Mother's Day from myself, and I know Dennis will say the same thing. I also have to say happy birthday to my mom. Her birthday is on the 9th, so a couple days, and every year, mom's birthday, Mother's Day, mom's birthday, Mother's Day, and last year it fell on the same day. So, but happy birthday, Mom. Love you. Yes.
And most definitely happy birthday, Matt's mom. Happy Mother's Day, of course, to all mothers. Mine's up in heaven watching over me, so, you know, definitely love you and miss you, Mom. But I'll tell you, man, if your mom's still alive, make sure to give her a big hug. Tell her happy Mother's Day. You never really know how much it means until all of a sudden she's not there with you.
Yes, and happy Mother's Day to your mom up above.
So I've been called a mother often. I get like roses or anything also.
It's just usually followed by another word.
Well, yeah, but you know I'm still a mother of sorts, right? I want my flowers, damn it.
Tell Hope, your wife, happy Mother's Day. Give her a big hug and a kiss for me.
No, I certainly will. I certainly will. She had to run up to the store. I was nearly out of Coke, soda, whatever you want to call it. If I got to sit here and keep this buzz running, I better have my soda's rolling.
So, yes. Yeah, not this weekend, but next weekend, I actually get to investigate a bank that's from 1913 is when it was erected. And the person who owns it actually was converting it into a living space, into a house. Like, if you met her, I love her to death. It's Jenny. We've, you know, talked about her. She did the show with me when we did the music tribute on Britney's show. So Jenny she's phenomenal. If like her personality is amazing. If she were to and her husband Will, they're just amazing people. If they were to buy just a house, I'd say that there's something wrong with them. So what they did is they bought this abandoned bank that she's going to send me some photos of the interior of it, but what she's describing is it's three stories. The basement is the vault, and one of those big old-school vault doors like you'd see in a 1940s, you know, knock-over-a-bank crime mystery kind of thing. And second level, the lobby with the teller windows, they ripped all that stuff out, and that was going to be the main entrance foyer area, and then upstairs is going to be the bedrooms. Well, when they're in the stairwell going from the main floor to the basement, they hear 1920s music playing, and they see shadow figures. They see it's, and she's going to give me the full history report of everything, but she even said, she goes, this will absolutely knock your socks off. So, waiting to see that this week, and really, really excited about getting there next weekend. Mark is probably going to be going out there with me, so be great to be back with him. Speaking of Mark, he and I went to the beach in Gary, Indiana today. And it was just you know, hey, what the hell, nothing's going on, I'm off work. He wasn't working, so pack up the Jeep, head to the beach. Well, I've been driving in my Jeep for 3 days with the top off, and it's been sunny, barely a cloud in the sky. If there is, it's just a little wisp. Yeah, didn't put any sunscreen on, so I literally look like a damn lobster right now. So, I know, Dennis, we were talking about a little bit before the show. Yours was worse than mine when you were in L.A. But
yeah, that was kind of horrible. I learned one thing, folks. If you're from Ohio and you're a pasty white little country kid and you make it to L.A., California, etc., do not fall asleep in just shorts by the pool and then inadvertently roll over sometimes. You will not be happy.
Yeah, I'm not at the point of sun poisoning right now, but I looked in the rearview mirror when I got the Jeep and didn't really pay attention to it, and I put my hat on when I got in the Jeep, and I turn over and I look at Mark, and he's doing one of those cackling laughs, just like leaned over. I'm like, what the hell are you laughing about? He goes, dude, take off your hat and look in the mirror again. I took off my hat, I looked in the mirror, which I'm looking in the mirror right now. I would say that I'm a shade of magenta. Like, literally, actually a shade of magenta.
Magenta is a lovely color. Not very human, but...
No.
You know.
I'm an Oompa Loompa on the red side. Let's put it that way.
Oh, if only I had loaded the board up tonight, Matt. I would definitely be doing that. You know, Oompa, Oompa, Oompa-dee-doo. Matt is red, red as can be. So, those of you that are around Chicago, if you happen to run into Matt, make sure to give him a big hug for me and pat him on the back.
Real hard, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, then after that, what was really, really cool is we went to, there's a pizza place around here that's actually expanded. It's called Aurelio's Pizza. And it's in Homewood, Illinois, and Mark grew up in Homewood, so he grew up eating there. And he's like, dude, you got to try this pizza. You got to try this pizza. We're like, all right, cool. So we go to Aurelio's. We sit down, and he's kind of looking like, past me over my shoulder, and he goes, Joe, and just happened to be the owner, Joe Aurelio, was there. Well, Aurelio's has probably, I'd say, 30 to 40 locations throughout Chicago area, and then he actually opened two of them in Vegas, so it was kind of cool just sitting there. Well, the other thing is, we're sitting there eating pizza, and the pizza place is actually haunted. The building was built in 1927. There's a woman in white, which I definitely have questions about, of why the hell do all women that have passed wear white, or a lot of them, I should say. Why are they wearing white? I don't know. But so it was cool to hear the story, and they did a bunch of they haven't had any groups come in there. He doesn't want any groups in there. He fully believes, but he's not sure if maybe his dad, Joe Aurelio Sr., is the one who started Aurelio's. If he is there, he doesn't want to know, you know what I mean?
Right.
Showed us some pictures of some interesting things when they were doing the rehab on it. The place, like, went crazy. There were shadow figures. He brought the hostess over, and she told her story about when she went upstairs and footsteps and seeing this dark mass coming towards her. And it was actually a paranormal lunch. So that was, yes, according to Trinity, I don't know why they wear white. That's the question I've had of why are they always seen in white? Why not, you know, green, blue, red? I mean, it's the biggest report is always white or black.
So they're seeing full apparitions, but they're in colored gowns.
Yeah.
See? Trinity's got a great question.
Yeah, do you see Trinity's thing?
Yeah, polka dots.
Yeah, polka dots. Why not some polka dots? Let's bring some flavor into this.
No, if you really want to screw it up, since most of the time we're using night vision and it shows up in green, how about if they're wearing a green suit? Do they not show up?
or if you really, really want to mess with us, laser grid.
Oh, yeah.
With a polka dot dress. Yeah, there you go. So, actually, guess who just popped in on the board there? Is that us?
Oh, I have no idea. Either Scott or... let's see. Who else do we have? Well, let's see. Hey, you met this?
It's Scott. He's now with us. What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, miss.
Hello. This is Scott, long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. Hey, Dennis. Hey, man. How are you guys?
Doing damn good.
I'm your biggest fan.
my face and body is on fire right now. I'm so sunburned.
Yeah, listen to your lobster story. Yeah, sometimes it's like me. I'm like a bronze beauty, but I won't go out in the snow. I can't do that. So it's the opposite.
I don't blame you. I don't like going out in the snow either.
Yeah, I can't go anything below 50.
I don't want to hear it. You should hear on some of our previous shows that we do, like especially in the wintertime, Dennis loves poking fun at me. It's like, hey, man, how's the weather out there? Oh, yeah, it's 26 and sleeting, turning into snow, and then, oh, it's going to be 6 feet tomorrow.
It's snowing sideways. How are you? Yeah.
Exactly.
No, actually, I'm actually quite white, too. I went out and did some bass fishing this weekend, and I was... yeah, I was surprised. I went out on a bass boat, you know, we go on the shore. And I was out there just a couple hours in the morning and a couple in the afternoon, and I got burnt. So, yeah, it's that damn sun. You got to stay out of it, I guess. It doesn't like us. You notice I have a lisp. I don't know if you guys have picked up on that yet. I got a serious lisp going on.
We were talking about that. I don't know. Just behind the scenes thing. What everything going good with that?
You know, it's a trip. I did an episode. I filmed a thing for True Blood. Okay, so I tried the fangs on, and I got fitted for them, and I liked them. So I went to my dentist, and I said, "I want some fangs." I mean, I just not predominant, not real big, just smaller fangs. So I had 6 teeth removed, 8 altogether. Across the top in the middle to get these things put in. And, they didn't. This morning I had to be rushed to the anti-fang department, and it wasn't a good deal, so I got a major lisp going on. It's a real trip to talk with, I have these denture things in now, and it's like I will never be old enough to wear dentures. And now it's just kind of weird how you get older and your fangs don't fit. So, I don't know. I have a lot of friends that actually called up, like you met, and actually, you know, hey, how you doing? I know you're not doing so well. And but, you know, it's a trip. I had to work today, so I went out and worked, and I bust big rocks into little rocks, so they don't really care if you whistle while you talk. God, I'm really whistling. I'm like, you know the old prospector that would whistle? Hey, when he talked, he said everything with a whistle. Now I know why.
I actually, you know what, you don't really... sound different at all, to be honest.
Thank you.
So,
thank you. Well, you do.
Yeah, I always do.
You're growing every day. Every day your voice changes. Just the other day you were like a little kid. Now look at you, big old grown up.
Yeah, and I'm grown up and I'm grown up and I'm grown up, so.
Like Peter Brady.
Yeah.
Peter something. Peter, I'm going to go back to that one again. That's like kind of how you always manage to loop it back to something like that.
You know, it's weird. The dick / penis / penis. I couldn't think of another name. What kind of person am I? It always seems to come around to that area. I mean, even in your chat room, I'm looking in here as a penis, vagina, vagina, penis, man boobs. It's the kind of show you guys have.
And it begins.
And it started right off the bat when he logged in. See, you can't blame me for this thing, Matt.
Sorry.
It's not my fault.
Well, right. No.
Hang on a minute. I'm going to read a question out of the chat room here. Angela, which shows up as the world according to Trinity. Hey, guys, I have a serious question for you. My 10-year-old, who is my mini-me, is really dove into the paranormal world, reading books and watching shows. He's been begging me to take him ghost hunting. How should I approach this? Do you think 10 is too young to start him?
Hey, Larry. You know what? I think. Oh, go ahead, answer it. I'm sorry. That was for me.
Well, my thought is if you take him to a location that, you know, you don't have a lot of, you know, like poltergeist activity where, you know, crap's flying across the room. I mean, you don't want to terrify him, but somewhere that you know that you can get decent EVP responses. Perhaps there's a shadow figure seen here or there, or, you know, there's somebody to put steps and things like that. I think that'd be fine, but if you take him into a place that's, you know, just buttloads of activity and, you know, stuff flies across your room, well, yeah, you might want to prep him with, you know, perhaps a diaper.
Scott, what do you think?
You know, I think 10 years old, I was really into it myself at that age. Here, you can have this whole piece, right? When you're into it, it's great to be a hobbyist and to love to be into the paranormal and stuff and have that interest. It's just a thing when you get to a point where you're going to go out and investigate, there's a lot of people will look at you like, oh my God, you're bringing a child in here. And, you know, I don't think it's safe for the person as well as the child, the parents or the children to bring a kid out on an investigation. Even though they're mini-me, and, you know, my kid started at 13, you really got to see, you know, is this little mini-me, are they ready for this kind of thing? Because it'd be like, he's 10 years old, would you send him over to Walmart in a real bad area of town to pick you up a six-pack of beer? I mean, it's the parenting thing. So it's really up to you. There's depending on the malevolence aspect of this place, and you really never know what you're going to get because in their time on the other side, it's not the same as our time. So even a 10-year-old that goes over and says, I want you to show yourself to me, and granted, taking the father out of this equation, being a dad, I would say, oh, my God, that's great because maybe the younger spirits will talk to the kid and, you know, we can get more evidence. But the fact is you're bringing a child into a situation that could be harmful. So it's really up to the parent and what kind of backlash you want to get if you put it on Facebook or something.
Oh, definitely. Well, no, another thought is make sure that wherever you're taking part of the history is not, you know, anything negative aimed at children. You know, the location is going to be the main thing. I don't really care how old they are when you start them. 10 is not that bad. But I definitely make sure that, you know, it's not a child-aggressive location.
Yeah. I think, and like I said, in their time, you know, if you have a child saying, hey, can you show yourself to me, they may show themselves when the child's 19, 20, 40, 50, mom's dead already, whatever. There's no, I mean, immediately, I've done EVP sessions with Mark and Debbie Constantino, let me drop that name, and had responses come weeks later pertaining to the EVP. So on the other side, there really is no age, you know. They don't really, you know. And this is, of course, just a theory. They don't really cipher one person from another. But like you said, depending on the history, if it's something malevolent, it's something that pushed people down the stairs, if it's growled, if it was a house where the guy killed his children. I mean, whatever that is, you really got to take that into and take all those things and put them in there. Now, for the mom, same to you. It's not always safe going out and doing paranormal investigations. You have to keep some sort of protection. And I don't care what it is. It could be a St. Christopher medal, a St. Benedict medal. It could be a picture of your 10-year-old. It could be a power greater than yourself. It could be something that you believe in so strong that it's a protection for you, including prayer and whatever. So even though the kid, we say this could be dangerous for a child, it's also dangerous for everyone, you know. So, yeah. Like I say, research this place. Realize that, you know, would you pull over on the side of the road in a bad area of town and tell your kid to run in and get you a cup of coffee at a 7-Eleven? Because that's kind of what you're doing.
Yeah. You know, the other thing I was thinking about, too, is we've been talking about this, because it is actually a subject that I've never heard anybody discuss before, so it's kind of cool to talk about it. It's something I've thought about, but never actually brought up. If to bring a kid into a location, the other thing you have to that I think that should be kind of, you know, as far as a protocol thing goes, as long as they're not being a kid and like toying with it and tormenting and, you know, like just being very matter of fact, very to the point. I mean, yeah, obviously don't take them into a demonic case or something like that, because who the hell knows if it is a demon and could attach to a child easier. I mean, nobody actually has any proof of that, but just to do it in a fun kind of leisurely manner, not to be, oh, show yourself to me, oh, what are you scared, and you know, start taunting and doing all that stuff, because the reaction could be stronger towards the kid, and especially if it's an adult that didn't like kids or whatever, you know, it could be a harder backlash. So,
you know, there are a lot of tours in St. Augustine. If you mentioned it, St. Augustine, the lineup goes a great to take them along. That's different. I mean, good job, man. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, and I was actually going to address St. Augustine, too. I mean, nothing on the St. Augustine tour, like, I think that would be a good introduction as a first, is do a local tour. I don't know where you're out of. Oh, Scott, also, I want to let you know, too, since you're in the L.A. area. My dear friend Ursula Bielski, L.A. Hauntings is her company doing the tours out there now.
Oh,
so,
great.
Yeah, so if I'll talk to Ursula. You ever want to go on a tour, I'll get you free tickets. You're more than welcome to tag along and see some of the places that she had did a lot of research on, and her team out there is phenomenal. I talked to them, just extremely, extremely knowledgeable people about just local areas and stuff. So,
well, thank you. I love her.
Yeah, if you're in the LA area, LA Hauntings, it's basically, I can't say an Ursula Bielski production, but she's working with them, and it's a great, great group of people out there. Ursula's, I swear, Scott, you ever make it to Chicago, or if Ursula and I just say, what the hell, let's go to California, this woman will blow your mind on the amount of knowledge that she has. And if you do your own research, it's everything is spot on. That's all she does. She's like two master's degrees in history and research, and she's phenomenal. I love her to death. But
yeah, she saw me go to the bathroom once.
Is there anybody who hasn't?
Yeah, sure. We were shooting a Paranormal Challenge, and she was a guest judge, and I was taking up going number two in the toilet on camera, and you know, her laugh is so infectious. I mean,
oh, yeah.
To make her, and she doesn't stop. She's seen me cry. She's seen me go to the bathroom. She's seen me put pantyhose on my head. She's seen me naked. So, yeah, I chemistry with her. I really, you really get to know somebody, so to speak.
Yeah.
That's some truly disturbing images. Thank you for that one, Scott.
Yeah, she probably can't watch. She's probably washing her eyes and taking stuff.
Yeah, and, yeah, and Ursula and I mean, if I have any investigations here, like if I call her and say, hey, Ursula, I have this going on. Do you have a tour? No. She's out there with me, equipment, full size. I mean, we've been doing a restaurant called The Great Escape here. Set up a couple of events. We have the Chicago Paracon coming up in October that her and I have been working on, you know, setting up. I mean, she's like, we do work together a lot. So, and I mean, we became great, great friends. And yeah, you're absolutely right. Everything is, she has that infectious laugh that you just, when she laughs, you can't help but laugh. And she's just, great, great spirited, wholehearted, like puts everything into it, not fake at all kind of person. So,
The person that we were talking about earlier, the girl, World According to Trinity, as far as her question is, yeah, you know, they even do Boy Scout tours on the haunted, the Hornet, which is a haunted ship. So there are tours out there that are totally safe. And I think that'd be a really good way to start your kid to do that kind of stuff.
You know, Trinity is Angela. She's from the group that we had on a while back, Matt, Spirit Light.
Yeah, she's in Jacksonville, Florida.
Right.
Saw that in the post. And I was talking to, let me talk to Brittany, who probably has a lot more information since that's kind of her neck of the woods. And Angela, I know we're friends on Facebook. Just get in touch with me, or I'll get in touch with you after I talk to Brittany and see what kind of information that she can come up with of something as a dip your toe in the water to kind of get into it. So,
I have been officially reprimanded. It's Maria, by the way, not Angela.
Oh, well, thanks, Dennis.
I suck at names. Don't blame me.
Hey, wait.
I know my own name each week.
Hey, Scott, your name is Chris, right?
Yes, Chris Fleming.
Case in point. Case in point. And, case in point and KMA.
And I'm a beautiful man, damn it.
Yes.
He's a good
man. You can KMA, my friend. I love you to death, but.
Love you.
I'm always. I promise. At this point in life, I should have athlete's tongue as much as I stick my foot in my mouth.
You know what? I'm the worst. I'll say things like on a radio show, like Chris Fleming's the most beautiful man in the world. I want to sleep with him, and I don't really realize what I've done. And then I get a message on Twitter saying, "Dude, really?" And you know, I've even invited people to come to Wolf Manor and forgot. And they show up. They come from like Arizona, and I'm like, "Oh, we can't go in there." See, I. When I get into this mode, like radio mode, TV mode, event mode, whatever, I just kind of throw up verbally on people. And then it always comes back to get me like, hey, remember that time you said that, you know, your dad, your grandfather was the amazing Kreskin? Well, he's here with me. He says you're not. And I go, I fucking said that. Oh, well. Who, but by the way, my grandfather is amazing Kreskin. So, if he's, you know, he's pretty amazing, too. Because that's my mom's maiden name, Dorothy.
Your
Kreskin.
Mom's maiden name's amazing. No,
my mom's maiden name, Dorothy Kreskin, son of a daughter of the amazing Kreskin, which is his full name. He, middle name Amazing, last name Kreskin. Because I think his real name is Todd, which isn't so amazing. Not anybody out there named Todd is amazing. I know some amazing Todds, but see what I mean? I'm gonna get myself in trouble, Dennis. I just talking. What is ROPFLMAO? Rolling on
the floor, laughing my ass off.
Rolling on the floor, laughing my ass off.
Rolling on floor, licking my balls. Not floor licking my. Oh, look, somebody's trying to invade our conversation. It's true. My boss, fuck off.
Oh, it only gets worse, folks.
Whenever I get her, and you just go, you know, hey, what's up? Where the fuck are you, man? You're supposed to be at that hospital working. Well, you know what? Whatever. I'm on $1 million radio. Honey, I'm on $1 million. No, no food for me. Do you have any insurance? I'll take an insurance.
I have to go get some.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, too.
Oh, thank you, sweetheart. I'm on a million. You know, time is money for these men.
Okay.
And you're kind of fucking up. Right. Thank you for, thanks for the chocolate flavored insure.
Yeah, and I'll go get some.
Because vampires drink this shit. They just open the can there.
Okay,
no soup for me.
Do you bite into the side of it, or do you actually open the top and drink it normally?
I bite into the side of my...
You have to do it right, hellish vampire. You hold it sideways, you pierce it, and you use the fangs to draw the liquid up. Duh.
Yeah, that's how you do it.
I mean, that's why he spent all that extra on the fancy fangs, you know, so he can use them as straws.
When these fangs are done, I'm going to be able to bite through... playing cards or something. I don't know. I worked at the zoo today, and I wish I had my fangs in because I was like nose to nose with this Bengal tiger. Well, actually, there was like 2 inches of glass between us, but whatever. And I growled at him with my fake flat dentures, and he was like, fuck you. But if I had my fangs, it would have been, you're a badass human guy.
So now, if you're going to be able to punch through playing cards and whatnot, that would beat the hell out of the Florida election systems where they, you know, have all those hanging chads. You'll be able to use your bang to do some hanging chads, right?
You are mine, mister.
I'm you're glad my name is not Chad because I can see where this would go right away.
Chad. Well, here's the thing. I'll be hanging out in Florida at elections going, yeah, you got a dangling chad? Here, put it in my mouth. Wait a minute. What is a chad in Florida? Is it a penis? I don't want that in my mouth. Well, I don't know. I've never seen it. I might like a penis. I just haven't seen one that I'd like enough to put in my mouth. So if you send me pictures of penises, I could probably pick one out and go, maybe this one. But right, as it stands right now, I don't. What am I talking about? Thanks, Dennis.
Oh, it's always... Oh, hell, I don't care. I've got broad shoulders. Blame me. You're the one on the air admitting that you wouldn't mind checking out a few penises. So, folks, make sure that you get on Twitter and you twit pick a bunch of penises to at Scott Green.
I knew I'd get that done. Thank you for, And here comes one now from Jason Gow. Jason.
Dennis, I think Scott's going to hop a plane and come to your house and just kick your ass. Now that he's going to get a whole bunch of penis pictures on Twitter. Hello? Hello? Can you guys hear me?
So let's drop everybody else. Yeah, suck it,
DP. Yeah, no, really. Right? And see, here's, okay, Kevin, who runs Unknown Radio Network, I love Kevin to death, who's does an amazing job. I just messaged him. Like, dude, I said, it's showing active, nothing's going on, nobody can hear us, so that's why I played a little Drowning Pool in the interim. But, yeah.
I love Kevin.
So what happened is, and he got Kevin got an email from the CEO of Blog Talk that said,
"Oh, I'm sorry."
Yeah, that that said somebody has hacked into Blog Talk mainframe and basically put in like a catch virus for anybody who knows computers out there, a catch virus on Blog Talk mainframe for primetime radio shows. Well, Blog Talk's prime time is 8 to 10. And we fit in that realm, which, Dennis, how many weeks have we just had nothing but fucking problems?
Oh, man. There was 5 weeks straight that we had three of them that just went to hell. So we had two programs in 5 weeks because Blog Talk couldn't get their crap together. We got hacked out of our own board, so we couldn't even log into our own program. We logged into somebody else's program one night, which, you know, that could have been advantageous to us. I mean, how else do you screw the competition but take them over?
Well, you guys could always go to Vaughn. Now, okay, here's the deal. A guy from Jetson TV created his own TV. It's called Vaughn TV, V-A-U-T-H, Vaughn TV. And it's Wallace, and then the guy's name is Mark Vaughn, I guess it is. And no interruptions, no commercials, nothing. And they've only got maybe 10,000 users right now, and it runs so sweet. And if you want to do video, there's no commercials. I mean, that's the way to go. Nothing bad against, you know, Blog Talk, whatever. But maybe that guy is hacking in to try to fix it. Maybe he's actually trying to make it run better. So,
hey, that's a possibility.
That would be great.
I mean, it wouldn't take much. Two monkeys and a bad bottle of Vaseline could make this network run better.
I know. We've tried. The only thing I didn't have was the Vaseline. Yeah, the only thing I didn't have was the Vaseline. You know what's really weird? Let's say you're, like, getting down and dirty and you're, like, in a group sex thing. Let's say you're doing one of those furry parties where everybody dresses like animals. But you need some Vaseline, but you're already, like, dressed like an animal. Do you get dressed in your regular clothes, or do you just run down to the store dressed like a panda saying, I'm looking for some fucking Vaseline for my party? I mean, I don't know. I think I would probably just keep my panda costume on and run down to the store.
That would you know what? That would make for a story, for
yeah.
sure, for the clerk behind that desk. There was a panda that came in and bought Vaseline.
Nobody would believe him.
No.
It happened to the guy that has all the stories, you know? That one guy worked that has all the crazy stories. Not saying he's a liar, but he probably is. But he's got all these really cool embellished stories. And then it happens to him, and everybody's like, yeah, right. So they have to look at the footage, you know? They have to look at the surveillance cameras, and they go, holy shit, Lion Benny was right.
Yeah. You know, anytime a story starts out with, y'all ain't going to believe this shit, somebody better hope there's a camera around.
You know, I was invited to one of those furry parties once, but I went as a giant praying mantis, and they were like, no. You don't fit in here, Mr. Insect.
Yeah, and they're not very furry.
Well, I know. I didn't think. I thought, you know, you just go as, you know, your favorite character, and they open the door, and I was like, and they're like, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. It's like that Roach commercial where the guy, you know, brings pizza to the door. They're like, no, we don't do a nice thorax, but we don't do insects here. You're like, all right, threw that in, a little life science in there for you with the thorax thing. The only reason I know the word thorax is because I'm a bug eater, and I love bugs, and that's the best part. Someone put in the chat room, just being naked, you are funny. I think that's all I got going. No, I was naked on TV a couple of times. And actually, I have a secret to tell on the show tonight, and no one else knows. I was going to wait to be on FSR, and that's Full Spectrum Radio for you people out there that don't know what I'm talking about. That I have a big secret I was going to tell.
Yeah, and you did post that, so I was waiting for audio. I'm like, are you serious? It dropped right before he's going to tell a big secret.
It's going to happen right here on Full Spectrum Radio. Sorry, I had to scroll up.
I don't know where the hell I am right now.
Where the hell am I then? Yeah, where the hell am I today?
I got a new show, and it's going to be Full Naked Paranormal. The people that did the Southern, what are they called, Deep South, and some other people, they're like, okay, everybody's doing this. Let's launch this thing. Let's shoot 3 episodes. Let's put it out there and see what happens. So yeah, keep your eyes peeled on the bio channel for Naked Paranormal. And so they just, I don't know why they picked me, but yeah, and it's not necessarily me. It's me and like 5 beautiful women and my wife and the wings. With a rolling pin. We use that for a trigger object, the rolling pin. It's weird. Whenever I go to, so that's the new thing. So keep your whatever peeled. Keep your foreskin peeled for that one. There's a, you know, I did that Bunny Ranch thing where I was, I got to stay 2 days at the Bunny Ranch and investigate with all the girls there. And my wife told me to call every hour to make sure I was okay. And I said, honey, don't you know our sex life? She goes, oh, yeah, call me every 3 minutes. So. Sometimes jokes just don't land. I actually told that one on Bob and Tom, and they laughed. You guys, not so much. But I got to do Bob and Tom. That was fun.
Hey, well, I was laughing. What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. But you ever listen to Bob and Tom? They're kind of famous.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, they're not, let me scroll up. They're not Full Spectrum Radio.
Scott doesn't even know where the hell he is right now, but that's okay.
Let me scroll back up. There we go. They're not full scrotum. Wait, full scrotum. Sorry. They're not full scrotum radio, which isn't a bad name.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, sometimes you like to leave a bad taste in your mouth, too.
Kind of got a wang to it. I went full scrotum on that investigation. On that investigation, I went full scrotum.
And now we're going to break out the full scrotum camera, ladies and gentlemen.
Why are my balls? My full scrotum camera. I am so tweeting that right now. Hashtagging Zach Bagans.
Oh, God.
I am so fucking tagging that right now.
You also have to hashtag it's a CPR thing.
All right. Let me put on here.
Ladies and gentlemen, you'll notice that as we walked into the vault, we wanted to make sure that we were able to catch everything. So we broke out the full scrotum camera, and you can see that we're all completely nuts in here.
Want to hear something true that happened between me and Rob Damaris? Yes, I'm saying it correctly. They had the the IR, or what is it, the FLIR. Correct me if I'm saying it wrong, but it's the forward-looking infrared camera. And this is like years ago, and it was a big thing. And everybody's like, oh, they've got the thermal cam out. Well, I went into the other room, and I laid my dick and balls on a flat surface that was kind of cold. And of course, I added my hand to it, so it made my dick look bigger. So I laid it, and I kind of pressed it into the desk at this sauna location. And here comes Barry Fitzgerald and Rob Damaris, and I'm saying it correctly. And they're looking around the room, and they look at the corner. The corner of the desk, and they, oh, my God, we've got something. And I'm just standing back going, how long is this going to take before they finally, this girl goes, that's a dick and balls. And no, it's couldn't be a dick and balls. They wouldn't do that, you know. And that's my Barry Fitzgerald permission. And, yeah, so Rob leans over, and he goes, hey, dude, did you put your dick and balls on the table? I go, did you? So not that I manufacture evidence, but that was pretty good. It took them at least 10 minutes to realize that, you know, they spent $300 for that event and they just got punked. Okay, so where is CPR in my world of Twitter? I can't believe I'm not following you guys. I'm looking through your windows at night. I should be able to follow you.
That's
what I heard. Hey, I'm sorry that the trash can out here got you the other night, man. I hope you didn't skin your knees up too bad. I meant to buy a higher quality one. I didn't know the lid would collapse so easy on this one.
That's okay. I landed on a raccoon. All right, let's see. Are raccoons pretty big in Ohio? They walk down the streets and shit. Let's see.
I'm in Virginia, so I'm not really sure about the raccoons in Ohio.
Okay, CPR Dennis. That's what I'm looking for. Dennis, right?
I-S.
There we go. You know what, I CPR Dennis introduced me to the full, how do you spell scrotum?
S-C-R-O-T-U-M.
Full scrotum camera. There we go. Tweet it. Now I'll follow you. You have 15 followers. You know, I think the raccoon is the only animal in the animal kingdom that can text. Let's
see. Oh, this is so wrong.
Introduce me to the pulse. SCR is a full. Introduce me to the full scrotum camera. Can't see what evidence we're going to get on that one. It's kind of like the full scrotum camera. It's got to be kind of like one of those GoPros, but with a ball harness. I'm thinking. Don't sit down because then they can see your face.
The images aren't that clear from all the wobbling and swinging back and forth when you're trying to walk with the full scrotum camera, but
I guess go swimming first, and then there'd be shrinkage. Tighten it up a bit. So here's what you do: open up page one of the full scrotum camera. Take camera out of box. Number two, prep scrotum. Number three, put batteries in camera. Number four, dip balls in ice water. Number four, explain to your family what you're doing. Number five, find a new place to live. Number six, get thrown out of the paranormal world. Number seven, have Scott Grunewald in your show.
And number eight, make sure you know or are close friends with a bail bondsman.
Actually, I have one in the kitty, so to speak. I haven't been to jail in 15 years, 16.
You know, it's a bad night. When best things you did was leave a message. You know, speed dial number 7 is my bondsman.
That's bad. I had a brother-in-law one time. He's dead now. Don't worry. I killed him. I kind of blame myself for his death. He was a bondsman, and he would get all this jewelry and collateral and all this stuff from these women, and then he'd sleep with the women when their husbands are in jail. I mean, he's a real scumbag, this guy. And we went to their houses. He stole shit from them. I mean, he was a real bad dude. I looked at him like, you know, it was hard to be around. It's kind of like how people feel about me. It's hard to be around me for more than 15 minutes. But this guy, he was, hey, you want to go ride the store with me? Fuck no, because you're going to get pulled over. You got like a bazooka in the trunk or something like that, or a body. Yeah, he ended up, he died of natural causes. Someone shot him. I wonder what Shifty would be doing right now if he was alive. Probably not. I know he lost his bondsman license right before he was killed. I should go do an investigation to see if I can find Shifty. No, I call you one EVP. Where's my money? Yeah.
You know, actually, and that was something. I'm gonna switch that into an actual like true conversation. See what you think about that. As far as that goes, if somebody loses a family member or something along those lines, what do you think, and I have my own theory about this, what do you think about if they want to try and get in touch with a family member after they've passed, as far as, like, how they'd actually view, or just a normal person, how they'd actually view the evidence? Like, do you think it'd be something...
You know, okay, say we have a pack. Matt, Dennis, you guys just make a pack right now. It's okay to contact me, okay? I want you to, all right? And anybody else out there, if when I pass away, I want you to. I'm so, like, when my mom passed away, before she passed away, she said, please try to contact me. Harry Houdini's, you know, father or mother, whatever it was, and even Harry Houdini said to his family members, his wife, please try to contact me. Now, I wouldn't... let's say you lost somebody and you're like, I want to know if they made it to the other side. You really got to be ready for that. It's almost like when alcoholics get to a point where they make a list of people they had harmed, but you got to be ready for the answer. Like I made a list of all these women I hurt, and then I contacted them, and they're like, who the fuck are you? So you don't know really how the other side perceives this. That's a hard one, though, Pete. So if you make a pact, I think it's okay. You know, I think that's fine. But I just don't want anybody out there listening to get hurt for what they might hear or what they might interpret on an EVP, like get out or I hate you or whatever. When it's really not saying that, it's cross-contamination or it's a false positive. But be ready for that response. So if you lost your brother recently and you're going, okay, Billy, I want you, or Gregory, or whatever, I want you to show me that you're here with me because I really miss you, bro, and I love you very much. It's therapeutic for the person doing it because you're coming to terms with their death, and I think it's good to talk about it even though you're talking. Because I'll drive in my van and I'll pat the chair next to me and go, Mom, come on, hang out with me, let's go. And I'll talk to my mom all day. That's one way, you know. But sitting down with a group of people and trying to contact the other side for a lost family member, be ready for the misinterpretation. Be ready for what you're going to hear. And it may not be what you want to hear. So I think you've just got to be ready for it. You know that you're going to go in and do this and be ready. I mean, you got to back me up. I think that people might get hurt worse.
I completely back you up on that. Reason I bring that up is I was talking to, I won't mention a name, but somebody who had worked with me and wanted, or like basically was from day one, just anything, you know what, hey, we got this going on, I'm there. And then he had a very, very close family member die in a tragic death and then was gone, backed out, like he watches the shows and stuff like that, but doesn't want anything to do with it because of that scenario. And
I think it's scary, Matt. I think did you guys do it? I mean, did you?
No, no, we didn't. But that's and I know that that's a completely off the table thing for this person that they don't want to pursue and try and find out in that situation. But I'm just saying in general, when in the past when my family members have passed away, I've myself and my mom actually have always felt a presence, and we're not sensitive, we're not, you know, nothing like that, but it's always grandma's there or auntie or whatever it be. But we never actually sat down and did like an EVP session or this is way before I was involved with any of this stuff. I'm talking like when I was like 4 or 5 years old. And I couldn't even say digital recorder, let alone spell it or use one, and they didn't exist because I am a little bit older. But it's just one of those things that I started thinking about it, and as my psychologist mind kicked in. It flipped into that gear, which is never good. But so I started to analyze. I'm like, well, if somebody comes to grips with that and they want to hear from them, but I always think that there's something, like, you want to say your last piece, you want them to hear it, you want to know that they're okay, but there's always this emotion that kicks in that you don't want that response. You don't, like, ingrained in your soul, you just don't want that, you don't want to hear it. You want to know it, but you don't want to hear it.
There's I think 99% of the people that walk the face of the earth have a understanding that people go away and they don't come back. They die. And then there's that 1% that doesn't know anything. So let's say 99%. And as growing up, most families, and I know it's true a lot in America, when you lose your grandma when you're young or an aunt or whatever like that, of course you can feel that because it's not from inside the room, it's from inside your heart. And I really strongly believe that once you know that smell your grandmother's house had, and you go into places and you smell that smell? That's grandma's with you. When you hear that song on the radio, so that's how we keep people alive in our hearts. My mom used to say, well, you know, grandpa's going to kick your ass if he can see you right now. So that was a different way of doing it. But when you're growing up and you just feel this, oh, my God, you know, or you say their name. You know, like instead of saying Danny, you say Billy or something. You're talking to somebody else. You know, hey, Billy, let's go. Oh, God. I mean, Danny, you're talking to a brother, and one of the brothers passed away. By just saying their name like that, they're with you. And I strongly believe, and I know Ursula would back me up on this, that these people, these feelings, these memories are so alive and so strong with you, even as an infant. Even though you can't remember their faces after they pass away and you start feeling disconnected, you still feel that. And I know when my children were little and they would say, well, where's Matt? You know, Matt's here. Or a door would slam and Matt's here because of the wind or whatever. It was good to keep those memories and that feeling alive. There's something to that. And tapping into that is totally different than the paranormal, I think. I think that's just a loving, honest-to-goodness feeling that you had people that loved you and might be looking out for you. God, that's so not like me. Did I really say all that? I mean, I didn't say dick or balls or anything in that. So, yeah.
You know what? That was definitely a great answer, and I think you hit the nail on the head. And it's, I think there's a lot of want in that and the feeling of comfort as opposed to. And you know what, in some cases, I can't even say any truth to this or not because we just don't know, but the feeling of comfort actually does kind of bring that, it manifests it to light, like it makes it real for you, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I think... I know women, well, women in my family are a lot better than the guys in my family, remembering, like, oh, Uncle Jack, you know, he was a lumberjack, and he was a 32nd degree mason. Yeah, they remember the stories better. Also, they keep the knickknacks. Well, this is your great-grandmother's wedding ring. You know, and guys, I go, thinking to myself, and the guys in my family are like, well, I don't remember Uncle Jack, and I sold that ring for $50 for a bag of weed. Yeah, I don't. It's like, we sometimes, the women in our family, well, in my family, they're more connected to the past. And I could call my twin sister and say, hey, who was our second cousin on mom's side that, what did they do? Oh, they opened the Panama Canal or whatever, you know. So I always think that women have stronger, a stronger link to past generations than the guys do. And the guys are more linked into the future. So, and this, I'm just speaking of my family. And that, and really, that's how it is for us. It's like, we're always thinking about what we're going to do, the guys in my family, what we're going to do on Friday, how we're going to get this done, what is going to happen, you know, planning, so to speak. And the women are always living in this awesome past. So I think that's, you know, that's one thing to make us like each other so much. I know my wife will say, hey, remember that time when we were first dating and you pulled your dick out at that cop? And I'm like, you know, I don't remember. I remember going to jail. I don't remember pulling my dick out to that cop. I do remember going to jail. She's, oh, God, it was so funny. Yeah, he tried to touch it. Yeah. And that's a true story, by the way. The cop pulled me over, and I said, what do you want, this? He said, no, I want you to put your arm behind your back.
It was license and registration, and then it turned into, yeah, you want to wear these nice, bright, shiny bracelets? Can you please turn around?
You know, and that happened a lot. I've been arrested. I was a flight risk, so whenever they got their hands on me, I had all these warrants, like 30 or whatever, stacked up. So when I went to court, it was, you know, no contest, over and over for all these charges because they finally got their hands on me. And but it was funny. When I ran, I always got away. I mean, I got walked away. I walked away from something I did really bad, and you know, and then I stood across the street and I watched the cops look for me. It was like, really? I mean, but every time I put my arms up and surrendered, I was like, you know, gone forever. So I'm not telling anybody. So anybody in the chat room wants to rob a bank, just walk away. That's from Scott Grunwald, the professional runner or lawyer guy. So kids,
hey,
listen up.
Scott, I have to say, and, you know, I know you're doing 3 episodes. I want to go back to the nude paranormal, or, you know, whatever the name will be.
Yeah.
No,
Naked Paranormal, that's the name.
Naked Paranormal. Oh, so that's set in stone.
Yeah, set in stone, Naked Paranormal, and pretty much the premise is you're not going to like this show. And if you love the paranormal, you're going to hate this show. If you like the paranormal, you're going to love the show. That's that kind of thing. Because paranormal visitors are going to go, this is bullshit. You know, this is crap. I mean, but people that are just out there watching are going to go, oh, my God, this is crap. So, you know, I mean, we got crap coming from both sides. But,
well,
it should be interesting. I've already shot one episode, so it's good.
Well, I know when you were on the show with Brittany and I, we talked about, you asked me, would I investigate Noob with you?
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about it last week in the clusterfuck that we had. With Blog Talk, and again, they didn't let us down by keeping us up. They let us down, like, the Viagra didn't kick in and the show cut out.
Right.
But, so, what I was thinking is, what do you think about if they don't extend it? I promise you that I do. I'd do a nude investigation with you.
It's very comforting to know that, man.
We get together. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis is getting freaked out.
Hang on. You know, it, for the people that aren't really hip to this, that what we're talking about is there is an enticement to naked investigation as far. It may sound funny and silly, but there is something about being totally nude and totally vulnerable in a haunted location. Your senses are really up. And you can really feel things, cold spots, these kind of things. Plus, on the other side, if you're dead, you see five people in one room doing EVPs, and you see the other people in the other room walking around naked, I am more apt to walk in the other, you know, float or whatever we do on the other side, no offense to dead people, go into the other room and watch the naked people and show them a sign of our penis. I knew I'd fit that joke in there somewhere. But, and there's something to that. Because if you're dead, people have the weirdest thing. Okay, let's say you're on Facebook and you're a nice Christian woman in the chat room, which I know those are the people that listen to your show, and you find out there's a boy in high school that you knew, you don't even think he's cute, but you knew he has some naked pictures out there, and there's nobody around, and you have the link, you're more apt to click on it. Now, I'm not saying you cheat on your husband, but there's a curiosity, okay? And it's just animal, it's deep caveman shit that we like to see other people naked, whether we admit it or not, and porn is dirty, and they do bad things to women the women that put their kids through college with money. But let's just say, you know, you have a brilliant, you know, you don't like porn, and you only have babies you only have sex to have babies, and you're that kind of person, which is okay. But you're going to look at a naked picture of somebody that you used to know. And that's just human. It's so deep in our, in what we are, we can't control it. So if anybody out there has any footage of them naked, please send it to me because I'm an animal.
Well, what I was going to say is, and I know we talked about it, and it's the idea, like, seriously, from a scientific level, actually really, really does intrigue me. I was thinking, like, hell, why not, if when I'm in California, hopefully it's going to be the tail end of this summer. If we set up and do, like, a YouTube broadcast or something, obviously we'll have to figure out how to blur, but no one wants to see my junk.
Oh, no, we have a way around that.
Maybe people want to see your junk, but not mine.
It's not a big thing. No, what it is they're fear cams, and they're pointing at our faces, and so it kind of hangs low, so they see our chest and our face. For a live broadcast, like a Ustream or something like that, and that's how we do it. We do the investigation, but the cameras are pointing at our upper bodies. At no point is that camera pointed below the stomach, so you'll never see a junk. You'll see people walk by naked. You might see a boob, but you really only see that person. The lights right on. I have the cameras right here on my workbench. I built three of them, so you really don't see, because we did one already. So it's actually really, really cool. And if people are out there and you want to rent a haunted location, I wouldn't do this at someone's residence, because that's why you don't want to do residentials. Rent the place out. Go to a hotel room that's haunted. Have sex. Record yourselves. Send me the footage. I'll go over it and 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 over it, and I won't return it. It might come back with some of that furry Vaseline shit we were talking about already, but that's how you know you got validation. That's my stamp of approval. Now, go to a place and do it and see what you get. If you and your significant other or their sister want to do this, go to a haunted place, go to the Queen Mary, rent a room, have sex, record the audio, and listen to what you get on the playback. And you will be pleasantly surprised that it's not just, oh, yeah, do me there in the butt. Oh, whatever you're going to do. You'll get audio of other things in there going, oh, my God, I like him, whatever. She's got nice boobs. He's got a small penis. I'm just naming off the things that I've got. She's got a hairy back. And if she really letting him put that toothbrush in his butt. Other than that, you know, all the other stuff would be pure scientific.
But no, like the idea, honestly, I think Dennis is redder than I am right now. If you look in chat.
Dennis has never used a toothbrush that way, so yes.
Yeah.
Honey, I'm telling about the toothbrush story.
What?
Toothbrush story. I don't know what I'm talking about. Oh, wait, that was your sister. Yeah. So I
but no, like, I'm honestly really intrigued to try it out. And
yeah.
I think the toothbrush.
No, I know there's some people out there. I think Julie Christina has tried it. The girl that was with you, the Cecil girl, I think maybe she's tried it. But it's really a good, you know, I'm not saying do what I do and walk around on TV naked or that kind of stuff. But if you're a paranormal investigator and you want to think outside the box, try it. And plus, it's a great pickup line, guys. If you're a single guy out there, you go to a paranormal convention, you tell them the theory with a straight face. I mean, you know, I think that we can contact these if we take our clothes off. There's a good chance you're going to get slapped in the face or whatever. Isn't that a great pickup line, though? Hey, let's go hunt ghosts in the nude.
Yeah. You know what? Brittany has done
it.
It
makes it a lot easier for contact.
Yeah, Brittany, that's her name. I think she has tried it. I know that Brittany's in the other side of witchcraft and stuff like that, so I know they do a lot of things on clothes, so it'd be hard to, you know, think that she wouldn't have tried that already, but I don't want her husband to arrest me. I think he's a cop or something. I don't know. But it makes sense. If you want to go to, it's like, okay, let's go to the OK Corral. Let's go to Bodie, or let's go to the Stanley. Let's go to an old ghost town, and we're going to dress in period clothing. So we're going to wear six shooters and chaps and cowboy hats. The women are going to wear high neck collars and really cool 1800 clothes. Same thing. They are trying to, they are trying to contact through paranormal stimulus by dressing the part. So what's the difference of undressing, especially in a brothel, an old haunted brothel? I mean, really? Take some money, put it on the nightstand or however they do it. I don't know. Look at me trying to pretend I know how to get a hooker. And have sex. I have a sinking feeling that could possibly bring up the activity in the room, the energy. I know it does at the Bunny Ranch. I know for a fact. I've heard rumors.
This is not... It's not something that I know as far as ever been attempted and documented and whatever. I don't know if you got stuff at the Bunny Ranch, if it happened and you actually got it, but obviously it can't be. It's rated R or X, so it can't be put out in the public or whatever. But, yeah, that's definitely a theory that really, really intrigues me, and not from like a pornographic level, but like a
scientific.
Hey, there was a whore here. That's what she did. That was her business.
And here's the thing. I just like when I've gone to whorehouses that ancient whorehouses. I mean whorehouses that were like that are really old. And I've done the standard question: are you here? Did a John hurt you? You know, that kind of stuff. You'd say to the other side. And I never got really responses. But when I say things like, did you go to school or did you have any children? You know, nice comments. I got responses on those. So even though you're naked, and here's the thing about it, I've done this so many times, and the responses that I've recorded, nothing has ever been just PG rated because it's paranormal. You know, I mean, it's never been... You know, I'd like to, you know, suck his dick or something like that. It's never been like that. It's always been noises, I'm here, the name Jessica, you know, these different things. So just by using nudity, we always take it to such a dirty place, man. We always take the naked body as to a dirty place, and you and I know it's beautiful. So immediately we go to, oh, we'll get responses that are pornographic. And really, frankly, we never have. So... I always joke around and say, you know, you want me, you know, that kind of shit, and it's stupid because they don't. There's a book by Marco Santucci called Paranormal Noise where he has sex with ghosts. It's Spectrophilia. It's a great book, Paranormal Noise. He sold like 10 copies in the last 15 years, but it's a great little paranormal book. But in that book, he speaks through page 39 about EVPs he's got that were pornographic. But as you read through the book, these responses that he got after he was having sex with the ghost were not pornographic. They were just regular banter, you know, like, I miss you and I love you and that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I love to get pornographic EVPs. Don't get me wrong. I love that stuff. You know, I always talk dirty to me, yeah, but it's really trippy how it's used in a scientific way. And you ask Barry Fitzgerald and you ask these other people, what's your best piece of paranormal equipment? They'll say you're the human body because you know it. You've had this piece of equipment all your life. You're pretty sure you're hip to everything that goes on in it. The piss shiver all the way to constipation, your stomach growling and different things. You know your body more than you would buying the Ovilus 3, which you're just going to throw the book away and go out there and use it. The fact is, you know the book on you. So, yeah, by using your body, you know, the only bad thing about it is hard to carry equipment around with you, but, you know, get a man purse.
Well, I mean, that would certainly make it easier if it's a location of, you know, people are touched and grabbed and pushed and poked and prodded right. And whatever else. You know, you don't have the clothing in the way, that's for sure.
And here's the thing. If you go to a place and they say, well, I was pushed on the stairs here and I was poked here, I was touched here. Andy Kopic has this great theory, and I don't know, I guess I could talk about it now. It's if ghosts can move objects, okay, if the other side can move objects and they can put that much energy into something, gather up this much muster, up this much energy, to move or poke or push or whatever, that's one thing. But I've had Andy do experiments on my brain where he took a millionth of a volt of electricity, I mean just the tiniest little bit of electricity, and touched a part of my brain, and it felt like I was being pushed. Then he touched another part of my brain, and it felt like somebody was whispering in my ear. Then he touched another part of my brain, and it felt like somebody was trying to push me down the stairs. The fact is, maybe ghosts can only have to use this tiny little bit of energy to touch the side of your brain in a certain place where we feel this, that we may be being pushed. So, I mean, I love to go to haunted locations, and there's places I go that I could go nude in, and I have these places set up, they're my little secret places. I can't tell you the names of them because you can't contact these people to do it. They just let me do it. So they have a lot of stories of where they've been pushed and kicked and punched and grabbed and slapped and kicked and kissed and hugged and prodded and groped and all these things that involve the word human to something. No, human to human contact. But it's not human to human contact. It's human to something else. So I would definitely, you know, those are the kind of places that would be really beneficial to use that piece of equipment that you were born with. God, am I sounding smart? I should record this shit. I'm never going to remember this. Did Scott say penis? No, he talked about psychology, and he talked about, you know, physics, and he talked about quantum mechanics, and well, that's not fun.
Yeah, well, look at it this way. It's on archives. You can share it with your friends.
It is, and I'm going to tell my friends to watch. Scroll up. It's Full Spectrum Radio.
Full Spectrum Radio.
Are we down to four chatters? Four games.
Yeah, we're down to four chatters, but chat rooms, you know, we don't promote chat, really. So we have a shit ton of listeners, always, but not
listeners.
So many in chat.
I love your listeners to death. And then when they die, I'll hunt them. It goes.
Well, most definitely. Well, see, we should be able to put a disclaimer out there that if you're going to listen to Full Spectrum Radio, you have to allow us, at the moment of your passing, well, you have to give us advance notice, of course, so we can get there. But you have to allow us at the moment of your passing to try to do an EVP session. Hey, you headed for the light yet? What the hell are you doing?
Yeah, turn around. Turn around, come back on the light.
Yeah, say something to us, you know. I mean, Matt and I have a pact that if either one of us are you know, on our deathbed, then the other one is to be there as soon as possible. And, you know, we're going to run EVP, we're going to do energy checks and everything else to see what the hell actually happens at that instant. Now, we've all done EVP sessions with, you know, long past gone people. I want one that's on his way out. Holy shit, dude, this light is bright. What an EVP that would be.
It would be horrible if you were an old train engineer and you feared the light. I think I'm going to take your lead on that. I think when I'm passing, I'm going to write it up right now, put it on Facebook. No, actually, I'm going to write it up right now, and I want cameras in the room when I pass. I'm not necessarily pointing at me, maybe one pointing at me, but I want to see if I'm going to die, because I've already made my death video that I'm playing at my funeral. It's really funny. I should post it on Facebook, but then it wouldn't be a surprise. I've already made my death video because my funeral is going to be like Exit from the Stew and my Naked Investigations and all that. I want people to not sit and cry at my funeral. I want them to laugh and say what a freaking moron he was. But, and I'm not going to out anybody, so if my cousins are listening, I'm not going to say you slept with somebody, because that would be kind of a douchebag move on the way out. But I want people there that are going to record my death. I think that's a great idea. I think I don't want like my last words, because my last words are going to be like, suck it, you know, or something like that. So I want it to be, I'd like that. I'd like them to have like all the full scrotum camera, everything there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, a couple of full scrotum cameras rolling in the corners. A couple of IR cameras.
That's so
digital.
It's so much funnier when you say it. I hear a couple of full scrotum cameras rolling. I think you got a jet flying. There's a plane flying over my house.
Dennis sounds more serious than you and I do. It must be that deep southern accent, like deep voice southern accent thing. Yeah, we gotta get the full scrotum cameras going.
Still funny. Oh my god.
Hey Graham, hand me a full scrotum camera.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm gonna be the lead investigator on this one, or at least the tech guy. All right. I want a full scrotum camera in that corner, a full scrotum camera in that corner. Let's put a full spectrum camera in this corner. And everybody stops and looks up and goes, wait, what the hell?
I'm making one. I'm going to make one. I'm going to take a picture of it and send it to you, Dennis.
I got it figured out. I know what the hell we can do. It's a jockstrap with a GoPro on it, and that'll become the full scrotum camera.
That's awesome. I get to see it going into a big five to buy one. Well, what kind of jockstrap are you looking for? A full cup? Well, I want something I can hang a GoPro camera on. Oh.
Well, I mean,
okay.
Now, come on. By all rights, when you go to the sporting goods store to do this, you have to go to Dick's Sporting Goods. I mean, where the hell else would you buy a full scrotum camera?
Oh, shit. Yeah, I'm over here at Dick's Sporting Goods looking for the full scrotum. You know what? I guess a cup would be better. You get a cup, because then you can actually mount it to the cup. Oh, I'm making one tonight.
Would it work on suction?
Oh my god, that's so fucking funny.
You know what? Fuck Matt and Dennis. Like, he's gonna be on his workbench till like 3 a.m. working on a full scrotum camera.
Yeah, and I'm gonna have something tweeted to me like poor Zach did, which was a picture of Scott looked like he was possessed on some shit.
Isn't that weird?
Poor Zach. Zach posts this picture and goes, got this from Scott. Yeah, I thought my phone was possessed. I'm like, yeah, I do not want to check that. quit the, you know, first thing in the morning and hear Scott posing with a full scrotum camera. I did it!
I did it. Actually, they'll probably video my wife video see me. It'll be like, my hair's all scraggly and you just see me from the back and all these tubes and stuff are playing them, you know, and back around and they're like welding, you know, noises and welding flashes and all kinds of spring noises and everything, and then I hold it up in the air. I made it! And then I'll post it. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think you guys can have that girl on your show. Where's that girl at?
Oh, Sarah?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been talking with her. She, her internet's so spotty where she's at in Mexico. No, yeah, it's so terrible. No internet in Mexico. And
Mexico?
She's in Playa del Carmen, so it's not a bad place. She, you know what? She's not that far from Doll Island. And we were talking about going to Doll Island.
I want to go. I want to go. I'm a big fan. Huge fan of that place. Want to go.
Yeah, what'd she say? She's only like an hour away from it or something, Matt?
She's a 2.5 hour or 2.5 hour plane ride.
Oh, I was thinking she was a lot closer than that.
No, because it's on the other side of Mexico from where she's at. But still, that's the one thing, and it blows my mind. She goes, there's no haunted places down here. At least they don't talk about them.
Yeah, I guess because the Catholic, I mean, it's a big, strong Catholic. Of course it is, because it's Mexico. They really don't, the paranormal is either two things. The Mestizo, it's mysterious, and it's kind of cool, and it's saved for, the Day of the Dead and that kind of stuff, right? And then you have the people who are deaf so much that it's that what you're doing could be poking fun or making fun of it, or it's very scary. So it's they take paranormal investigators down there as in Mexico as you know, it's like you guys, you're dipping into something that's extremely, extremely taboo to them. You could even be blocking the person from reaching heaven because they're stuck in purgatory because you're saying their name over and over and you're trying to contact. So it's really trippy in Mexico, and I've done stuff down there, Mexico City. And you kind of don't walk around telling people you're doing that. Even the police, the federales will get involved. They want to know what you're doing. And again, down there, it's like just like an EVP, it's interpretation. You could be feared. Now monsters are different. Now, the chupacabra and that kind of stuff, oh, they love to talk about that. They love to talk about sea serpents and monsters and that kind of stuff. But when you start talking to the dead, they freaks them out a little bit.
My curiosity is, how many households down there have a shrine to Saint Morte or, something like that, which is the patron saint of the dead? How many houses down there have that, and how many pray to it? You're definitely talking about a different culture where you don't disrupt the dead. I mean, hell, they've got places in South America and whatnot where they hang the coffins on the side of a mountain, for crap's sake.
Right.
You do that around here, the poor SOB wouldn't have anything in a week because some low life would go through and rob the grave.
Right.
Which, I posted a couple of pictures on my Facebook of the crypt that I found here in Richmond at an abandoned cemetery where the crypt itself had been broken into. The caskets are all pulled out. And I did do an EVP session in there and asked how many of you were laid to rest in here. We can see four coffins, and I've got an EVP response telling me four.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was definitely fascinating. That reminds me, Matt, the EVP that I sent you that raw, unedited or anything, I haven't even reviewed it yet myself. You asked me if what I sent you was like at the 22nd mark or something like that. Did you actually hear something in it? Because, like I said, I haven't reviewed it.
Yeah, I couldn't pull it out. I didn't run it through the audio or audio programs, but yeah, I heard something there. I was waiting for you to review it and then let me know what you thought you heard, and then see if I can verify what I thought I heard.
All right. Yeah, I'll have to email it to myself. I mean, it was recorded. I didn't even have a recorder with me. It was kind of a spur-of-the-moment thing. So I just put my iPhone in there and used the voice recorder on it, which actually is not a bad recorder.
No, it, It's not. It's just that you run into a frequency issue for what it picks up. Like the iPhone 5, and this is for everybody out there who has an iPhone 5, don't use it as a audio recorder because it has a noise canceling thing that you cannot turn off. So when you go to your voice recorder, it's the same thing. It's like they even have a commercial on it for Sprint. Where they start the helicopter and they're talking and whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Like it's just it cancels out so much background noise, and that's where, well, most EVPs, I can't say all, but that's where most EVPs are picked up is in the white noise, which is the 14,000 hertz frequency, like in that range. Well, it brings it up to 22,000 to 26,000 hertz to cancel out the background noise, so you will miss it.
Yeah. Well, that brings up another good point. Scott, I'm going to run this one by you since you're going to be the one staying up all night playing on the workbench.
Yeah.
When you do the full scrotum camera and you get that full design, are you going to have an attachment on there for a good audio recorder?
I think I'll keep it around the front because the back could pick up some false positives. I think I will. And you're right, the iPhone has that cancellation. You can't get rid of it. The iPhone, they actually market it as this. That has to be, you have to have an iPhone 5 because it has this sound cancellation thing on it. And it's like, yeah. But, I think I will. You know what? And maybe we'll start out with the GoPro. Use that mic on there, right? And then we can start adding all kinds of all kinds of attachments. So when you walk in a place, you look like a moose. You look like a moose ears sticking out, or antlers. Sticking out with K2 meters and shit on there. Okay, let's make.
You would also have to make sure that.
Yeah.
You'd also have to make sure that it has spreaders, you know, because, you know, thigh rub is not going to be conducive to good EVP sessions.
Right.
Yeah. I'm not sure what the hell that was. Was that demon breathing? No, that's my fat ass thighs rubbing together.
All right, everybody, that was some of the archive, most of the archive, I should say. It did go on even into archive to where the show kept going on. But I just want to say for anybody who took the time to listen to this, I definitely, definitely appreciate it. I apologize of everything falling apart last minute and the show going the way that it goes. So, anyway, catch us or me and somebody else. I don't know what's going on with Dennis' schedule as of right now. I will find out Monday morning, and we will see if he's going to be joining us on Into the Darkness. It should be Brittany and I if she can get out of work, because her work has been a pain in the ass recently. But thank you for everybody who did check out the archive. Or the replay, I should say, and we broadcast the show. It was always fun. I was listening in the background on the show, and I still can't help but laugh. So thank you, Scott. I do owe you royalties, I do believe. 6th, 7th, and 8th at Parafest. Scott, I will talk to you about it. You got to send me a box of Parahorror t-shirts, and I will sell them there. And 100% of the profits go to you, and I will even reimburse you for shipping. Just kind of want to get the word out there for you. Been a great, great friend. Monday night, it'll be Brittany and I, hopefully if she's off work, Into the Darkness Radio, and then following Wednesday, as of after Monday. Will be Full Spectrum Radio. So, thank you, everybody. Have a good night, and God bless.